Come on, give him praise, soldiers of the cross. Oh, come on, give him glory. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus glory. Give him praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Blessed be God. Turn to your neighbor. Give him a high five and tell him, I believe I'm on fire on. Come on, you too quiet. Wake up, everybody. Give the other person on the other side high five and tell them I'm going to fight on. Going to fight on. I can't hear nothing but hands slapping. Somebody shout, I'm going to fight on. Oh, you can do better than that. Somebody shout, I'm going to fight on. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. You can go to your seats. I can tell you that's a summary. It is a summary to that wonderful testimony that we just heard from Brother Taylor, Brother Stephen. I tell you, I'm proud of that young man. My God, stood in there and said, I'm going to fight on. The devil said, why don't you fight flesh? He said, no, I'm not going to fight flesh. I'm going to fight in the spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! That's where real victory lies, is when we fight in the spirit. That's the reason God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, God said, now you can take that vengeance in your own hand and just mess everything up. Or you can fall on your face and go to fighting in the spirit. Come on, somebody. And fighting in the spirit, fighting in the spiritual realm. God said, I will bring vengeance. Would you shout hallelujah? And he's a just and a holy God. Would you give him a hand clap of praise? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truth Camp 2016. My, what difference 1 year brings in so many areas and in our world. You hear me? In our nation. But I'm thankful that you have assembled here. You've had fundraisers and you've planned and you've packed and you came here Monday. Hallelujah. And God is going to honor you. I said, God's going to honor you. God's got a reason for your being here. If you believe it, shout amen. What an honor, what a privilege it is of mine to be able to once again stand at this sacred desk and declare the mind and the intent of God for your life and for this gathering this morning. God's got a mind for you. God's got intentions about this service today. Would somebody say amen? I said God's got intentions about this service today. I just talked to him this morning, and God sent me with a word. I said, God sent me with a word for this gathering. And I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of St. Mark, chapter number 9. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1, if you would stand with me once again for the reading of God's holy word. And I can tell you, God's in this camp. God's moving in a mighty way. Woo! We've burnt the boats, and yesterday we heard from God in that great challenging message about how there's no voice in the wilderness. But I've been praying that for months now. God, raise up a voice and let me be one of those voices. Would you shout amen? There's too many voices clamoring in our streets that are nothing but vanity. They're nothing. They're for nothing. They will do nothing. They're clamoring in the streets I'm talking about. Will accomplish nothing. But those who raise their voices for God, would you shout amen? In prayer and in the preaching of the gospel shall advance in this hour. And our nation, our communities will feel the impact of it. If you believe that, shout amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. God's raising up a voice of some young people that's going to leave behind a bunch of charred ashes of boats when you get on the bus or on the van to go home. If you believe that, say, that's me. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verse number 1, the recording of Mark. And he said unto them, he records the words of Jesus, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for this powerful testimony. Oh, God, we've heard this morning. Lord, I know what it is to go, Lord, through Death Valley in a different scenario. But, Lord God, it's one thing to testify about it, as we now have the privilege to do. Lord, I thank you for your strength while we walk through it. And while we go through valleys, you're there to strengthen us. Carry us through to the other side. Thank you for this powerful testimony that has let us know today we can make it. We can make it no matter what we face. No matter it comes our way, we can get through it and stand victorious on the other side. Thank you for it. Thank you for this word. Anoint your messenger today that I may deliver your mind to these young people today. Let them receive it, dear God, in faith, believing in your completed work of sacrifice on Mount Calvary, sealed by your resurrection. We have access into your presence today, and that's where we are. Help me to declare your message. Father, I'm going to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Everybody shout, Jesus! Oh, come on, shout it, Jesus! Oh, hallelujah. You can go to your seat. And while you do, to stay with me in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 4. And there appeared, let me back to verse 3. And his raiment became shining. We're talking about Jesus now here with Peter, James, and John on this mountain. And he has led them there, and they get there, and it says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller or any kind of soap, to understand it today, any kind of detergent on earth could white them. Woo! Not even Tide could do this. Would you shout amen? And there appeared unto them Elias, or Elijah, with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. Now, this is reference to the Feast of Tabernacles the Jews had celebrated. That's what these disciples are thinking about. Let's build three brush arbor type tabernacles. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because the inference here is because we want to stay a little bit longer. Come on, somebody. How many has ever been in a church service like that? For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. They were really scared in awe, in reverence. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And suddenly they had looked round about. When they did, they saw no man anymore except or save Jesus only with themselves. And then the word said, as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one another, what the rising from the dead he was talking about should mean, what it really meant. Now, turn all the way over to the songbook of the Jews called the Book of Psalms. In Psalms 91, I want to begin reading verse 1. Psalms 91, this song that the Hebrews sing, that's written for us today. What a powerful song. What a powerful Psalms. He or she, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee. Glory to God. Woo. Oh, y'all missed that. He shall cover thee with his wings. Think about it. Think about it. It's kind of like some of them boys in my dorm last night. They woke up this morning and said, oh, it's freezing in here. I started to go turn the air thermostat down. I said, no, they'll be appreciating this cold after a while. One of them said he's a pulling covers, but it said it kept coming off last night. I had to pull it back. He shall, what? Somebody talk to me. I don't want to be up here by myself. He shall what? He shall what? Say, he shall cover me, he said, with his feathers. Hallelujah. And under his wings shalt thou, you're going to trust. That's that word, the name of this camp. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield. Somebody say amen. To deflect the arsenal of Lucifer and demon spirits. His truth, God's truth, shall be my shield and my buckler. That which holds on the weapon of my sword, my buckler. He shall be my sword and my buckler. All of this, the psalmist lists, and he lists it because it is the outcome of the secret place. Did you hear what I said? It is the outcome of the secret place. Now, I want to preach to you this morning. Before we go on with the rest of our day, we've took time out to come in here this morning. But I would have talked to you as the Lord would help me to preach this subject, simply entitled, The Secret of Kingdom Success. How many here likes to hear a secret? It ain't secret no more once you hear it. God, amen. I come this morning to declare the psalmist's secret place. He said, he or she, that teenager, that senior high schooler, that junior higher, that sixth grader, whatever the case, those young people down in Lufkin, Texas, at Truth Camp, they that dwell in the secret place It's not just any secret place. We all have secret places we like to steal away to when things go bad in our life, when we just don't understand, when it seems we can't take it no more. We have a secret place. Maybe it's in the treehouse that Daddy helped you build. Maybe it's out back in the barn, up in the loft, over in the far north corner, sitting on a bale of hay. I don't know how many square bales they make nowadays. Maybe I should say in that barn, sitting on top of a round bale. Come on, all by yourself. Cows are mooing, but you found that secret place where you get alone. Some of you young ladies, you run in your bedroom and close the door and you jump up on your bed and you grab your diary. Sometimes you're mad and you open it up with your little key. And maybe now we've advanced beyond that. I don't know. Maybe it's your notepad, whatever. Jump up there and you just go to type it. Come on. Sometimes you go in there, young lady, and you're sad. Come on. But it just seems to do something for you. It seems soothing to an extent. It becomes therapeutic for your tried and bruised emotions. Huh? But you have a secret place. The psalmist said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, we're not talking about that place where you're at in particular, but we're talking about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Shout amen, somebody. Woo! The Most High has a secret place that he wants to reveal to you today. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Watch the outgrowth from the secret place. Watch what it produces. He said, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody shout amen. Woo! The outgrowth of the secret place. The outcome of the secret place. The outcome from your entrance into the secret place is this. You're going to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody shout amen. I said you're going to dwell under the shadow of Almighty God of heaven and earth. He is El Shaddai. Somebody say amen. He is the all-nurturing one. That Hebrew name for Jesus has the implications of motherhood. That he, as your mama, will nurture you, will care for you, will give you everything you need so you can go on, get up and keep going. With somebody, oh my God, I'm preaching better, you're shouting. Come on. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Woo, somebody shout, God Almighty. Shout it, say, God Almighty. One African-American preacher said, he's Almighty. He said it like this. He said, Evangelist Jacob Smith, he said, there's no weak place in God. That African-American preacher said there ain't no weak place in God because he's almighty. From the top of his mighty head to the sole of his mighty feet, he's almighty. I said he's almighty. He's got almighty vision. He's got almighty hearing. He's got almighty knowing. He's got an almighty hands. He's got mighty feet. He's got mighty strength. Isaiah said he will make bare his holy arm. Shout amen. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, my God's almighty. Shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's go on. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my security. He's my hiding place and my fortress. My God, in him, somebody shout, in him will I trust. Why? Because he shall deliver thee. Brother Stephen, he shall deliver thee. Young men, young ladies, he shall deliver thee, you, from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. From the what? From the snare of the fowler. From the snare of the bird catcher. Maybe some of you young men know what a snare is. It's a type of a trap. Maybe you young ladies do, but it's a trap. Somebody shout, look out, it's a trap. There was in that hour those who would catch birds. Birds of prey. Birds they could, I say birds of prey. Birds they could eat. And they'd make them a little snare out of some sort of string or whatever the case was. And they would cover it up. I don't know how they did. Probably put a little bit of food in it that birds like. And then that fowler, that's what he's called, the bird catcher. He's called a fowler. He'd be over there hiding. If it's nowadays, like some of these boys like to deer hunt and turkey hunt, he's covered from head to toe with camouflage. Come on, still. I've done it before, boys. I've sat right on a stump covered from head to toe with camouflage and had deer jump over the fence just within 25, 50 feet of me. I had one doe come up. I was sitting in the bushes. I was sitting in the bushes, just all covered up. She come up there and just snipped. And just so close, I could have reached out and pat her on the head. Come on, somebody. Had my camo on, had my sin away. Come on, somebody. I know y'all been hunting. But that fowler was over there, hid. About that time that little birdie got down in there, boy, he's enjoying it. He caught him. Run and grab him. Come on, somebody. Woo! Do you know that devil is a fowler? I said he's a fowler, not a feller. Well, he's a fowler. Come on. He's a fowler. Shout amen. And Isaiah said there's folks in his days, they like to catch men. The devil is a fowler who likes to catch young men and young ladies. Come on. And he will set snares for you, and he will bait the trap with something that just makes you, oh, you just, I got to have that. Come on, somebody. And about the time you step your pretty little feet over in it, and you think you're enjoying it, there you go, you had it then. Come on, somebody. Woo, except for mom and daddy are praying for you. Except your pastor and his wife are praying for you. The devil will destroy you. Somebody shout, help me, Jesus. But watch this, watch it. You can escape the snare of the fowler. You don't even have to ever step in it. Matter of fact, you can recognize it. I don't care how he disguises it. You can recognize it before you ever get close to it. How's that, Brother Tom? Because he or she that dwelleth, that lives in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, and he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He said, the awesome passage, we've got time to do commentary on all this, but he shall cover thee with feathers, with his feathers. Now, it's not that God actually has feathers, but God is so great and so mighty, he explains himself to us in ways that we can understand. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Hallelujah. His truth It's going to be your defense and your buckler that holds your offense. Why? Because I'm safe in the shelter of his arms. So let the storms rage high. The dark clouds rise. They won't weary me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Ooh, somebody shout hallelujah. Gonna abide under his shadow, and like a mama chicken, like a mama hen. Red hawk is a whistling in the heavens. Mama hen doesn't recognize that whistle. Got her own little alarm call. They run. Mama spreads her wings, covers over them, gathers them up under her, and sets down over them. Woo! And if I was one of them little chickens, I'd hear that whistling going on. But about time I get under Mama's wing, I say, bring it on, Red Hawk. Come on, somebody. I'm covered by the hand and the strength and the shadow of the Almighty God. Would you shout hallelujah? Somebody lift your hand and shout it. Say, I'm covered. I'm covered. Say, in the secret place. Oh, y'all not helping me yet. Say, in the secret place, I'm covered. I'm covered. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That, my brothers and sisters, in short, is the secret of kingdom success. The secret place. Somebody shout, the secret place is the secret, say it, is the secret of kingdom success. Somebody talk to me. You see, what is success? For fear that I would leave you pondering the word success and comparison to the word success and how we view it in America in the English verbiage, I must tell you that what I'm talking about, kingdom success, it is summed up in the pinnacle, in the crux of the words of Jesus. He said that we would stand before him one day. We would, Brother Stephen Taylor, hear him if we've served him, if we've lived for him and loved him. No matter what kind of trials you go through, et cetera, et cetera, you may stumble and fall a million times. But when the righteous fall, they ask the Lord to forgive them and they get right back up with the shout amen and they keep moving forward. But hallelujah, you make it into the portals of glory and you stand before Jesus Christ, just you and him. Come on. And he says this. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Shout amen, somebody. That success in the kingdom is to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How many wants to hear the Lord say that about your life? Would you get that? Hallelujah. Woo! Blessed be God. That is success. Somebody shout, that is success. The secret of kingdom success. The determining factor of your relationship with Jesus. This is not a religion. This is not a denomination. This is not going to church every Sunday and sitting on a pew. This is a relationship. This is not a relationship with somebody that's a billion miles off and don't even know you exist. This is not a long distance relationship. Oh, I'm preaching better than your shop. I've been there before. I've been married now. Last Friday I was married. Was my anniversary. I've been married 28 years. 28 years and four kids. And I just got to say it, two grandsons. And by faith, one on the way in January. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. We is kind of having, me and the other grandpa, he's done gone, so I can say it now. Me and the other grandpa, we was kind of having a little back and forth. I said, reckon he going to be a Sooner fan or a Longhorn fan? He said, well, I don't know. Woo. He said, but you remember his daddy is Matt, the one he's going to be living with. He'll be a Longhorn fan. I said, well, at least he can come on over the Red River and just make me feel good as my grandson and say Boomer Sooner just to make me feel good. Come on, somebody. Woo! But what I'm telling you is this is a relationship. I don't know where I was going with that illustration, but this is a relationship. It's not going church every Sunday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the religious things you think religious people do and most religious people do, but they never have a relationship with Jesus and they die in that situation and they go to the same hell the alcoholic goes to or the pervert or the homosexual or the adulterer, the fornicator. Come on now, preacher, better you're shouting. But those who go to heaven have a relationship. Oh, I remember where I was going with that. They have a relationship. I've been married 28 years, four kids, and two grandsons and one grandson on the way. But when it all started back in the day, you know what I'm talking about, back in the day. When it all started back in the early 80s, and I was 17, and Sister Tom was 12. I know I did when my girls got 12. I said, how in the world did my dad-in-law let this Indian, we used to call it go with his daughter. Come on, somebody. Let alone sit by her at church. I had to go in the pastor's office and sit down and ask her daddy, may I sit by Keisha in church? He said, well, let me talk to her mama about it. So the next service he came, called me in his office, pastor did, and he said, her mama and I agree it's all right for you to sit by Keisha. But you have to set a songbook length apart. Hallelujah, I can handle that. But it wasn't long until she moved off. 3.5-4 hours away. I know what it is to suffer from a long-distance relationship. We didn't, I would to God, we'd have had cell phones back then. And the ability to text. Boy, I'd have been hello, baby. Come on. But it's back then when it's real romantic. We had to write letters. And I'm not a good writer, you know. I mean, cursive writing, but I love you. And down at the bottom I'd sign MT.N-, Keisha. And underneath I'd write the letter, the number 4/ever. And then right before I put it in the envelope, I'd get a little bit of my smellums off the dresser. I think it's chaps, what it was. I remember. But I'd get it, put a little bit on my finger, a real big drop. And I'd put it right on the top of that letter. And I'd stick it in that envelope and mail it. And I wrote her and mailed her about 2-3 times a week. Come on, somebody. Woo! But you know what is a long distance relationship? And I had to suffer through it. Come on. 3.5-4 hours away. But are you listening to me? Oh my God. But thank God I said I do. But thank God more she said she do. Come on. 1988, and I can tell you, what I've got in her now, she and I no longer have to suffer from a long-distance relationship. We've got a personal relationship. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is better than any old boy ever thought about being. He's better than any old girl. If you fall in love with Jesus, it won't be a long distance relationship. It'll be an up close personal relationship. He'll be real to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. The success of your relationship, the determining factor of your relationship with Jesus, the level to which it excels, the continuation of that relationship, the strength of it, the secret of kingdom success is this. This question, can he lead you apart? Can he lead you apart? That word apart, A-P-A-R-T, is a separation. Come on. It's a drawing aside. Hello, somebody. By yourself. Just you and him. Come on now. Can he draw you? Can he lead you apart? Is the secret of kingdom success. That is the secret place. It is where and when he is able to lead you apart. Come on. Can he lead you apart? Ask yourself the question, can Jesus separate me? Can he lead me aside? Can he lead me apart? Because number one, if you allow him, if he is able to lead you apart, if he is able to bring you to dwell in that secret place, it is there, young people, that the success of your kingdom success, your success of the kingdom with you and your relationship with him is when he leads you apart. Because when he leads you apart, number one, that's where you are transformed. Shout amen, somebody. I love to shout. I love to dance. Not to boot scoot and boogie. Uh-oh, it y'all got quiet when I said that. I may need to stop right here and preach. I said I love to shout. Oh, hallelujah. I love to dance in the Holy Ghost. Shout amen. So I love to run the aisle. I love to climb over pews when I get real excited, spit and sweat, holler and rejoice in Christ. Oh, but can I tell you, that's not where I'm transformed. Where and when you are transformed, amen, is when Christ is able to lead you apart, separate you, and bring you in to the secret place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. The word transformed is also, I believe now, if I did my study right, is synonymous with the word translated. Both of these words means to take on a change of nature. To be totally changed, a change of nature, transformed. Somebody shout transformed. That's where you are supernaturally, divinely transformed, is when you come aside into the secret place of the Lord God Almighty, which is a part in Christ. That's there where you are transformed. It's there where you take on a new nature. It's there where your new nature continues to be transformed into what? Into who? To be like Jesus. Somebody shout amen. You're not going to be like Jesus just going to church. You're not going to be like Jesus just singing, "I'll fly away 1,000 miles an hour. You're not going to be transformed like Jesus just by running the aisle. You're going to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ when you're led aside into the secret place of the Most High, because it's there. It's there that you behold Jesus. Hallelujah. It's there that you see him. He led Peter, James, and John up to the mountain of transfiguration. Some commentators tell us it was the mountain of Tabor. I don't know. But he led them up this mountainside. And on top of that mountain, all of a sudden, the boys are there with Jesus. And all of a sudden, they look up. And he is translated in their sight. He begins to just glow and shine like the noonday sun, brighter than the noonday sun. That light, that divine light comes from within him. Come on, because don't forget, he was fully, 100% fully man and 100% fully God. It was at that moment, I can't explain it all, but all of a sudden he was lifted up and his whole countenance changed. Translated, light shining out from him, glory light of power, light of love. And they fell at his feet. They looked and beheld Elijah and Moses talking to him. They were visiting. Some tell us they were visiting about his crucifixion, but nevertheless, they were visiting with one another. And light was there, and the cloud of God came over the disciples, I believe, to shield their eyes to an extent. Come on, to an extent, God, that old human body can't stand so much glory. But God said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Somebody shout hallelujah. It was in that moment, they didn't know it then, but later they would, that Peter, James, and John got a transformation. They would learn later after Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they'd learn what it is to come aside into the secret place of the Most High. And there they behold Jesus, not with the natural eye, but with their faith. Would somebody shout amen? In a far greater way, in the power of the Holy Spirit filling their human spirits, they would fall on their faces in prayer to seek God in a secret place. And when they did and they began to pray, the Holy Ghost got over. The Holy Ghost began to come up out of them, Brother Jacob Smith, and they began to pray in tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them the utterance, and they began to commune with God one-on-one through the Holy Ghost language, and they talked to Jesus, and there they behold Jesus by faith. They feel him. They sense him. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to you in those secret place times. Come on, somebody. And in those moments, your very inward nature, your spirit, your inward nature, your body, soul, and spirit. And in your spirit, it's transforming, it's translating, and it's taking on more and more progressively the nature, the essence of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise, because it's Jesus in you. It's in those times when you're beholding him. Come on, somebody. When Jesus in those times is translated to you in those times, it's in those times he becomes more than you expected. Cool in here, at least wise for you. Come on! But it's in those times where he becomes more than you expected. Oh my God, I've been there. I got saved, filled the Holy Ghost when I was 15 years old. And I have lived in that secret place. How? By going there all the time. Every day, he draws me aside to be tempted and tried, but in the valley, he restores my soul. Shout amen, somebody. There's a secret place
in your valley of trouble. There's a secret place in your storms of difficulty. There's a hiding place. There's a secret place. And it's in that secret place where you're knowing Christ and He is knowing you. And you are constantly being transformed inwardly. Come on. And it's in that time when Jesus becomes more than you expected. When somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! I've been in some restaurants to eat, and I didn't know what I was going to get. I was just trying it for the first time. Somebody told me about this restaurant. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to eat, you know. And I sit down and I start digging in. And when I do, woo, I leave there saying, hey. My wife said, what'd you think? Oh, that was good. It was more than I expected. So, oh, y'all too quiet. That was more than I expected. Shout amen. Can I tell you, in the secret place, in coming apart with Jesus in that secret place, He will become to you more than what you ever expected Him to be. Would somebody shout hallelujah? He's more than a rabbi. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a pastor. He's more than a preacher. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a king. He is the only begotten Son of the living God. He's more than your best friend. He's more than your doctor. He's more than your counselor. He is the lover of your soul. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Woo! He'll be more than what you ever expect. Somebody shout amen. Second of all, in case you're wondering, I got 3 points. Number two, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 through 12. Write them down, Bible students. Write it down. You got time to read it. I'm going to refer you to it. 1 Kings 19, verse 9 through 12. Elijah, the one who's up there on that mountain we just talked about, talking to Jesus. He's running, scared of a woman. I've dated those kind of girls. Come on, Jezebel. Come on, someone. Woo! Glad God gave me strength to get away. Elijah was running from a woman, and he wound up in a, I know there ain't no Jezebels over here, wound up in a cave. Old dark, musky, moldy smelling, mildew smelling cave. He's shaking. The cricket chirps and he jumps. Thought his old Jesse behind him. Come on, somebody. He's battling depression and everything else. And he's wondering where God is. And he's in that old dark cave, wondering where God is. How many of y'all ever been in a dark cave, not literally, but in a typical sense, in problem, difficulty. How many's ever been in a dark place and you wondered where God was? Raise your hand. Come on. He's in a dark place, wondering where God is. And he said, oh, God, I wonder where you're at, God. One time he said, God, I just wish you'd kill me. I just wish I'd die right now. Come on to glory. He didn't know he may be glad God didn't answer his prayer. He had cheated himself out on a personal rapture and a personal ride in one of God's fiery chariots. Somebody shout amen. Come on, give God praise. He's standing there wondering where God is. All of a sudden, a big wind comes. And blows through there, and the rocks of the mountain where the cave is begins to shake and rocks fall. And he thinks, oh, that's God. That's him. That's him. And he runs in. God, when you're coming. And he said, it wasn't God. Come on. God wasn't in there. Then there come a great big ball of fire. God ain't in that. I'm just about to give up. Brother Taylor, Brother Stephen. He tucks his head in the locks of his chest. I guess I might as well just go and jump off the edge of this mountain. And all of a sudden he hears
a still, small voice, Pastor Goodwin. Elijah. Elijah. Come on, somebody. See, God knew that Elijah was already jumpy and skittish and nervous. Huh? And just like a caring elder for Elijah, he don't holler. Because God realized if he'd have said, Elijah! Dark place in the house. God just said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Oh, my God. And it produced a greater effect than the wind and the fire could ever produce. Elijah covered his face and fell to the ground. Said, it is God. God brought him through and brought him out of that dark cave. Let me tell you something. When you're in the secret place of the Most High, and you've come apart with Christ, and you're in the secret place of the Most High, it may be in the darkest day of your life. You may be standing on the bedside of your daddy, who the doctor has said, there's no heartbeat, he's gone. And you're standing in that dark cave. But then all of a sudden you hear Stephen. It is I. Be not afraid. Only believe, Stephen. Believe. And he reached his hand with that other preacher and they prayed. And all of a sudden his daddy goes, God and Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, walks in that room and says, rise up, my beloved one. Rise up. Woo, come on. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden, God says, come on, Stephen. You're coming out of that dark cave. I'm bringing you out. I'm bringing you through. You're going to have a testimony and a shout of praise. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory. And last of all, second of all, in the secret place, the success of your Christian life, coming apart with him, it's there that you learn his voice. Last of all, thirdly, in Exodus chapter 3, I refer you to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Moses, the other Bible character that's talking to Jesus that we read from a while ago in Mark. But Moses is on the earth at that time. In Exodus, of course. And he's herding sheep. He was next to being king, Pharaoh rather, of Egypt. Now he is running behind sheep. Get over here, you old sheep. Here's fire burning. They tell me now that was common in that desert. But he hears that and he stops and looks. And the only difference this time, he's watching, and that bush ain't burning up. It just keeps burning. I got to come apart, turn aside. I got to see what this is all about. Somebody shout amen. And when he approaches that fiery bush, whoo, that voice that would speak to Elijah later speaks to him. Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Come on. And he comes in to the secret place of the Most High. Somebody shout hallelujah. I can tell you I've been there a thousand and a thousand and a thousand times since I was 15 years old. And I can tell you it's holy ground. It's holy ground. It's a holy place. It's a powerful place. When you go into his fiery presence. Shout amen. All by myself. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I fall at his feet.
I've been there many times with many emotions. I've been there when I was depressed and in a mental hospital ward. And a lot of people, some, let me put it like that, Job's comforter had gave up on me. I wanted to commit suicide. I had had the plan given to me by lying spirits of darkness. Didn't have to plan it out. The plan came to me. Get your shotgun, go squirrel hunting, get in a place in that Arkansas mountain area where you know somebody can find you. Come on, I was a preacher then. I was a preacher filled with the Holy Ghost. I was in depression, didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew that I thought God had left me and I'd sinned against him and I was going to hell anyway. And the devil said, go squirrel hunting. Tell your wife you're going squirrel hunting. Get out there, get against a tree and pull the trigger and it'll all be. None of those kids you preach to at Truth Camp will ever know. Everybody think it's an accident. They'll all come to your funeral. Your friend, Pastor Goodwin, will come to your funeral. Some of the others that I know. I stood in the pulpit of where I pastored at the time, and I could actually see in some sort of way my funeral being played out in that church. I'm telling you, that devil is a murderer. Jesus said it. He's a murderer and he has been from the beginning. But it's in that moment, in that dark cave. It's in that moment, and that at that fiery bush, come on, it's holy ground. Shout amen, somebody. I knelt down in my bed in that mental hospital ward. Come on, they wouldn't even have let me have a razor to shave. They had to write it down, sign out a razor to me. And if I stayed in the shower too long, they'd come beating on the door. Mr. Tom, come on, somebody, I'm telling you right now. But I'm telling you right now, I started going into my little room. My little room that had a bed, a little stand, nothing else, nothing on the wall. Come on. I think, Lord, no wonder folks lose it in here. Ain't no pictures and nothing on the wall. Could have a buck deer over here or something, you know, and river over here. Come on. But I'm in there, and all of a sudden, I hear that still small voice. Michael. And all of a sudden, God starts giving me a message. I hadn't wrote down a message in 8 months. And all of a sudden, God gives me a message out of Psalms that says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And with a trembling hand in that dark cave, on that holy ground, out of the fiery Holy Ghost bush, I began to write down my first message in 8 months. With a trembling hand. I fell down by that bed and began to pray. My wife called, asked the charge nurse, how's Michael? She said, we thought he was making progress. We thought he was doing good. But she said, I don't know now. My wife got scared. She said, what's wrong? She said, one of the nurses, we got to looking for him at break time, at rest time, free time, whatever. And so we couldn't find him, but said she eased his door open and he's in there praying. I hadn't prayed in no great months. Come on, somebody. And my wife knew it. And my wife on the other end of the phone said, thank you, Jesus. That's my husband. There's nothing wrong with him. He's getting better, better. Shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. That devil is a liar. Close with this. It was at that fiery bush. In that secret place where Moses heard the call of God. Never has there been a dearth in our Pentecostal movement of real preachers really called to preach among our young people, our missionaries, evangelists, or any other calling, praise and worship, whatever, than there is right now. But when we come apart into the secret place, young people, we'll hear his voice, we'll recognize it, learn his voice, and we'll hear his call. But somebody shout amen. I got to close. Right before I went to the pulpit, God told me to write down this reference scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. For it is in that
text, that context of scriptures that the Apostle Paul said. He said, that I may win Christ. Paul knew what it was to dwell in that secret place, be transformed and to know Christ in a personal way, or he'd have never made it through what he went through. But in that, he went on to say, that I may know him. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it right there. Good place to shout. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we stop there in many places. We shout and dance and run the aisle. But he went on and said, and the fellowship of his suffering. Shout amen, somebody. I come to tell you, the secret place of the Most High is when you're in a place of suffering. You're suffering. You're hurting. You're bleeding. You're bruised. But you're in that. You are experiencing fellowship with Jesus Christ like you never have before. The fellowship, the koinonia, the intimacy of knowing Christ in intimacy, in the fellowship of suffering.
That boy walked to that pulpit last night, started leading. Don't sit down yet, brother. Started leading praise and worship. I was sitting over there, and I just felt the anointing. Whoosh! I said, great God Almighty. Woo! And the Lord spoke to me. You know what that is? I said, what? He says, that's what you experience. That's what you're talking about. When you come through that depression and you walked out on the other side, you had a fellowship like you had never had with me, and there was an increase in the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you that's still there that nobody else will have but you, because you've been through the suffering. You've been in the secret place of the Most High. Shout amen, somebody. And he's covered you. Shout hallelujah.
Stand up, Brother Stephen. Brother Stephen's testifying. He's been here several camps. I've heard him minister. I've heard him testify, but never like this morning. I recognize when he went to testifying, I said, oh, my God. I was trying to write down some last-minute notes. I really wanted to stand up. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it now. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. But I was trying to write down notes and listen. Come on, somebody. Well, I recognize that. God spoke to me again and said, you know what that is? I said, what? It's the same thing I put on you when you come through that suffering. You was in that secret place of the Most High. And when you come out, you had a greater anointing than nobody else could have. You've been in the secret place, in the fellowship. Somebody shout hallelujah.
You know, by shout hallelujah. The secret of your success as a Christian is in the secret place of the Most High. You learn his voice. You hear his call. And you're transformed into his image more and more. And you, come on somebody. It's then that we become a mighty voice for God in the land. The last several years, God led me to do certain illustrations. And God came in this house. But I can tell you, God's here today just like he has been in this camp already, like he was last night. But this morning, he told me, it's going to be a little different. All I want you to do is call these young people to the secret place and tell them that it's there in the secret place where they really get to know me. Tell them it's in that secret place when they come aside that they begin to hear my still small voice and I call them. Shout amen, somebody. And so, I just want to ask you this morning, and he looks probably 15, 10 minutes to 11, I don't know.
But I want to ask you this morning. Maybe you're going through trouble. Hell on earth, proverbially so. Powers of the enemy attacking you on every side. Temptation has come and you have fallen. And you've come here feeling like a failure. I had a dream 2 weeks ago. And in my dream, right before I woke up in the morning, I seen a man standing in front of me. He's pointing his finger at me, and this is what he was saying. You're a failure. And he kept saying it. You're a failure. You're a failure. You're a failure. You're a failure. And when I woke up, I felt the strength, the strong presence of oppression. And I began to pray, sitting there on the couch. And God spoke to me and said, if that's the devil, and if he's telling you you're a failure, he knows that you're a success in the sight of God. Would you shout amen? If he's telling you you're a failure, that means there's something over there he wants to stop you from getting to. Shout hallelujah, because when you get there, it's going to stomp his head. Shout hallelujah. So, I just want to ask you this morning. How many of you want to come with me? And let's come into the secret place before we go about our rest of our business of today. How many want to come into the secret place? Come on, right now. Girls on this side, young men over here, just come. You're coming now into the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. He's going to spread his presence over you. Begin to commune with him and talk to him. Hallelujah. It's here that some of you are going to begin to know him like you have never known him before. You're going to begin to see him like you've never saw him before. Oh, hallelujah. Just begin to call upon him. Begin to look to him. Begin to worship him. Apart, apart, apart. That's all I could hear yesterday and the Monday when I was seeking God about what to preach today. God kept saying to me, come apart, come apart, come apart, come apart, come apart. I got up early this morning when the alarm went off, went into the shower in the bathroom shower room, and I just began to come apart, come aside with him. I can tell you I've already been in the secret place. This morning I feel him. I know him. I'm being transformed. Come on, young people. Great God, it's all right to shout. It's all right to dance. It's all right to run the aisle, and we need to do more of it. But I can tell you right now, we must know him in the secret place. He's going to draw you aside. He wants you to be a success. Anybody can shout and run the aisle. Come on, somebody. He wants young people that know how to pray. He wants young people that when in temptation, in trials and problems, they know what to do, Brother Dustin. They say, I'm going to come aside. Jesus is calling me aside. Hallelujah. Oh, when the devil wanted you to divorce Jesus and trouble come your way, instead you got closer to him. You drew aside closer to him. Come on, Brother Dustin. Come on, Brother Dustin. Sing that song, brother. You know what you're singing. You know what you're singing now more than ever. You've been in the cave. You've been in the valley. You've been in the fellowship of his suffering. When little Logan looked like he wasn't going to make it. Hallelujah. And we is praying for you. Your church is praying for you. But more than anything, you and your wife was alone with Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! You're not alone, young people. You're not alone in that cave. You're not alone when mom and daddy gets a divorce. You're not alone when your mama gets drunk from whiskey, when your daddy gets high on drugs, and you're in that house, you're not alone. The Lord is with you. Go into that secret place. Call upon him. Pray for your mama. Pray for your daddy.
You will go before me.
He's there.
You will.
He's there. He's in that secret place. When you leave this camp, when you leave this camp, you're going to know, you're going to
to have learned what it is to have a secret place, to know God in the secret place. Come on, let the Holy Ghost pray through you. Let the Holy Ghost pray through you in other languages as He gives you utterance. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. I can tell you, that's the way the late Corrie Ten Boom, that lady that spent months in a Nazi prison camp. They stripped her and her sister and other ladies, Jewish ladies, they stripped them of all their clothes, made them stand naked in the deep snow. But Corrie Ten Boom stood in the secret place of the Most High and came out.
You will never.
Come on, young people. Come on.
And I am not alone.
Come on, young men.
Come
on, young men. Come on, young men. One of these days you'll be a man. One of these days you'll be a husband. One of these days you'll be a father. You got to know where the secret place is. You got to know where the secret place is. It may be on the back of a farm tractor. It may be on the backside of the farm in 40 acres. It may be in a garage working on a vehicle. But you know where the secret place is because you learned about it at Truth Camp 2016.
You will never leave me.
My God. My God, we're raising men of God. We're going to raise men of God who know where the secret place is. We're going to raise women of God who know how to pray. Women of God who know where the secret place is. When the baby's sick at night. Hallelujah. When you become wives, and some of your ministers' wives, the preachers yourself, and you're going through hell on earth, and you feel like you're about to lose your mind. You know what it is to get alone, to draw aside into the secret place.
The dark of night will not.
Say, Lord, 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 it's here I'm going to know you. It's here I'm going to learn more about you. It's here I'm going to get closer to you.
Lord, you find my every battle.
To draw closer to God. Drawing closer to God doesn't mean the absence of trouble. Come on. It means that God is with you. That He will prove Himself to you. We're going to another level. We're going to a new level in God. We're going to a new level in God. Come, we're going to the secret place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. That still small voice is calling your name. He's calling your name. Jesus is whispering your name. And He's saying, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Hold on to me. I'm with you. When it feels like you can't take another step. When it feels like you want to just get out of here. It's then that you call on God. Cry out to Him. Jesus, I'm in the secret place.